I want you to open your Bible with me for a moment, please, to Romans chapter 5. Would you do that, please? Romans chapter 5. My mind has gone a lot of different directions this morning in the Word of God. I'll jump back into Joshua, God willing, next Sunday, as we're trying to wrap that series up. But listen, I've learned that what God wants is what matters. Amen. And He sees what we don't see and what we don't know. And we've just got to fall in line with that. I want you to submit to that as well, would you? Let me read this verse to you. You can remain seated. But I tell you, this hit me just a few minutes ago. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Boy, we can all say amen right there. The day that we got saved, justification process. Okay? You've got salvation, you've got justification, of course, connected. You've got consecration, sanctification. One day there'll be glorification when we go into the presence of God. What a time. But I love the way it does this here. Wherefore, being justified by faith. But he tells us what the result of that is. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, because you are justified by faith, because you've been saved, you have peace with God. Amen. Now, it's easy for us to say that we have peace by God, and He is ultimately the source of that peace. But do you notice what it says? It says we have peace with God. With God. Do you know what it is telling us there? It is speaking of this peace of God that comes through a relationship that is pursued by every individual that has been saved. Amen. It's been well said through the years that salvation is the act of a moment. Sanctification is the act of a lifetime. Right. Peace of God and salvation and eternity, it ultimately, the seed is planted within your soul the moment that you got saved. Amen. That's true. But it grows the more that you walk with God, the more that you get to know who God is, the more that you realize how big God is and how real that He is in your life, the more that you pursue His Word and His will and His ways, you begin to see that God is just that real and you want to be more, have more of Him and be closer to Him. The book of Romans is one of the most fantastic books, of course, in all of the Bible. And every book of the Bible has its purpose, otherwise we wouldn't have it. Has its significance in certain areas by which we are taught by various things. The book of Romans gives us so many wonderful truths that helps us in moments of life, moments of what seems to be a lack of peace. Because we have been justified by faith, remember, salvation is through grace. It is by faith through grace. You get saved because you have faith, and grace reaches down to you in salvation. But because of this salvation, the end result is to be peace. I think sometimes we just have to be reminded of a few things having to do with what our Bible is and how that it is laid out before us. So for just a minute here this morning, not knowing the needs of the people that are in this house, can I just take you on a quick journey through God's Word? If we were to flip back to Genesis chapter 1, and if we were to look at verse number 1, I believe one of the most profound verses in all of the Bible is found right there. In just the first phrase. Matter of fact, I want you to look at it with me, would you please? Genesis chapter 1. Just go to the front of your Bible and go a couple of pages over, and it shouldn't be hard to find Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and the phrase that we find here, and I want you to set your eyes upon this phrase because it'll help you. Everybody has opinions about life. Everybody has opinions about what's going on in this world. Now, some opinions may be right. You can't discount all opinions. That's fine. But I have learned that if you will just settle yourself on one issue, all of the other opinions will align with what God says. Did you know that there are no doubt people sitting in this building today, you've got problems with what this Bible says. You're okay with part of it. Now, when you're asked about it, you say, no, I believe it all. But in reality, by the way that you and I live our lives, we are proving that we do not believe it all. And there are aspects of us that have a problem with certain parts of the Bible. We're going to address some of those in our Tough Topic series. But I tell you, I settled this in my heart with Genesis 1 and verse 1. And here it is. Look at it. In the beginning, God. Just cut it off right there. Now, you could go further. Of course, the Bible went further. But I have just learned that once you nail down in your heart, in the beginning, God, you don't have a problem with anything else that is in this book. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. That settles all of the evolution debate that is out there. That settles all of the debate about life that is out there. In the beginning, God. That settles all the debate about morality that is out there. All of these things are outlined in this book, but it is letting us know in the very beginning was God. In other words, there was nothing other. It's just God. You are here today not because you got up and made a choice. Sure, you did do that, but you're here today because God allowed you to be here today. I see so many children in here this morning. You ought to be grateful for the fact you had a mom and a dad that cared enough to get you to come to church to get you close to this God that we're talking about. In the beginning, God. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have lived in a perfect world? Right here it is, in the beginning, God. And then when you continue to read, you're finding the accounts of creation. And you see that in chapters 1 and 2 and 3. And of course, the creation of man and woman in chapter number 3. We are introduced in chapter 3 to what? Sin. Brother Jared was all over this Wednesday night. And if you missed Wednesday night, you missed a blessing. Go back and watch it. It was a blessing. Sin was introduced. As a result of sin, man fell. The perfection of God's world immediately began the process of decay. As more were born, as time went on, that sinful nature was passed down all the way from the original Adam to whomever you are today. I see beautiful little Lila here, right? Look at her, just a few weeks old. Precious. But sin has been passed down. When you come to Genesis chapter 3 and into verse number 15, you are finding the result of sin and what it cost. You're learning there that as Adam and Eve had that hindrance and that separation between them and God, they for the first time recognized that they were unclothed before God. There was shame. They had never felt that way before. There was shame. Why? Because the conscience kicked in and there was a battle that raged between conscience and sin. All of a sudden they realized something is not right. Something is wrong. And I believe there may be people here today in your heart and in your soul. You may not have all of the boxes checked. You may not understand everything about this great big Bible here. But the fact is you know that something just isn't right in your life. And so as a result of this, Adam and Eve, what did they do? They went and they began to get branches to try to cover themselves with leaves and such things. And then they would go, and you remember that they took the coat of an animal. And what so many of us miss by this is they loved those animals. Remember, they named them. They loved those animals. It was just like family members, but the only way there could have been a coat of an animal was if there would have been a sacrifice of an animal. So can you imagine, because of their sin, here's Adam and Eve knowing who this animal was, knowing that they had named this animal here and given it its actual title that we may even know it by today, and they had to slay that animal. Why? Because there had to be a blood sacrifice. God requires a blood sacrifice. So the very first foretelling of Calvary we see in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, to where they had to wrap themselves in the coat of a beast, which pictures blood that was shed to pay the price for sin. You know the story as it goes on. The fall of man continued to evolve greatly. And we know the story of Cain and Abel and all that unfolded there. The world continued to deteriorate. Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, God destroyed the world by a great flood. We know it. Noah's Ark, right? We know it. God in His mercy gave them a brand new beginning. Aren't you grateful for new beginnings? Amen. Aren't you thankful that though you may mess up life, though this world may be totally ruined in this way or that way, God is a God of brand new beginnings. So today, no matter how much you've messed up your life, God's a God of a new beginning, and He'll give that new beginning to you. Going through the story of the book of Genesis and Exodus and the exodus of God's people out of the land of bondage, Egypt, a picture of the world, and they go. And of course, we've been studying in Joshua as they made it into the land of promise. And then you go into the Judges and that era of time. And then you go into the prophets, and all through you find prophecy after prophecy after prophecy of what happened in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, where the Messiah came. Now, in the book of Exodus, of course, we are given the law, are we not? All through, Moses gave that law. You learn so much about it in the book of Leviticus as well. And when you come to Romans chapter 5, I cite that because you find something else in Romans chapter 5. And I want you to go back to Romans chapter 5 with me again, because it is a reference right back to it. I'll let you get there. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, right where we started. Give me just a moment and I'll be finished. Romans chapter 5 and in verse number 20, the Bible says, "Moreover, the law entered." Stop right there. "Moreover, the law entered." We're going back here. It's a reference all the way back to the days of Moses. All the way back to those days in Exodus Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all of this, the law. You see, man in the Old Testament had to believe to be saved the same way that you and I do today. Did you know that? It comes down to that one word that we found in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Do you see it there? Being justified by faith. Did you know that Moses had to believe by faith? Just like Tom Brock had to believe by faith. Amen. David had to believe by faith, just like John Alverson had to believe by faith. Elisha had to believe by faith, just like Justin Ellison had to believe by faith. And straight on down the line, what's the difference? The difference was those guys were believing by faith that one day there would be a cross, and they were looking toward that. They believed the Messiah would come. Today, we're on the other side of it. We believe by faith, not that He will come. We believe by faith that He did come. And we have so much record through history, evidence, proof of the fact He did come. He came. Faith was strong in the Old Testament days. Today, there is evidence that supports what we believe in such a more profound way than what even they in the Old Testament had. Faith. You've got to have faith to trust Christ to be saved. But now back to the law again. We saw it in Romans 5 and verse number 1. The law came into place way back in those early days. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the books of the law. The law came into place. Now the law was a system by means they had to abide by to be saved. Boy, that was a tough time. I mean, it really was. You had to dot some I's. You had to cross some T's. You had to align yourself with what God said in every way. We talk about this a lot, and I really do believe we need to get it in our hearts that if those folks back in those days came to God's house the way you and I do, they'd be dead. In other words, if you and I came to the house of God the way they could have back in them, you and I'd be dead. That was the law. What a picture that it really is. That law, it was rigorous. That law, it was difficult, but it was necessary for God's people. It was necessary for them. And so the law was lined out. They would abide by the law. And part of the law had to do with the sacrifices. And every year, Passover, there would be a sacrifice and atonement for sin. Temporary only, it was. And there was the time that came when there had to be another sacrifice. Everything in the Old Testament, never forget this, it is pointing toward the coming of Christ in the New Testament. Everything. You see Jesus through every page of the Old Testament. And then again, you come into Matthew and Luke and you find the arrival of the Messiah. And so as we come to the book of Romans, we are seeing here that now, not only has Christ been born, He's lived His 33 and a half years. And He's been crucified on the cross. He died. Why did He come and die? That was Passover. He came to be the permanent sacrifice. So there would not have to be another ram or another lamb that would have to be sacrificed. He came to be the perfect sacrifice. Listen, there had to be a cross. There had to be a blood sacrifice. Somebody had to come pay for your sin, my sin, Lila's sin. Somebody had to do it. You cannot do it. And I believe in your hearts, you really do believe you cannot do it. You cannot be saved. But Christ did that for you. Amen. Now think about your life now. Think about how vile and how filthy your life is. Nobody knows you like you know you. And think about the mess that you are. And how you deserve judgment. You deserve to burn in hell. I deserve to burn in hell. We really do. But we find again in verse number 1 of Romans chapter 5, he sees it. He says that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, if you're struggling with peace, it can come through Him. And then we skip back down again to verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered, we just talked about that, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see, where the law, if you look carefully at it, where the law entered, day and age, that is a past tense. Among this day and age of grace that we live in, the law is something that we look to now, but we do not live by, because Christ came to pay for your sin and to pay for my sin. We have the idea sometimes in this society today that just as long as I think about it, just as long as I believe there is a God, and it's the true God, as long as I really do believe that He's out there, that I'm okay, I'm saved. It's deeper than that. I heard Bill Maher say one time that he knows a lot of people that believe that Christ is God. There are a lot of people out there that believe that. But is He your God? Is He your Savior? We were at a funeral some time ago, Christy, weren't we? And I prayed a prayer, and I kind of joked with you. I said, the only reason this came out is because I'm kind of hungry at this moment, I think is the way that it came out. And I prayed in that prayer about this very thing, trying to get people to understand that it's not enough just to believe in a God, or even if He is the true God that you believe in. Just like it's not enough to have a plate of food set down before you and for you to really believe that it's food, but for you to get what you need, you have to partake in that meal. You have to make an effort. You have to profess the fact this is good food. This is food that's going to help me. And I'm going to partake because I know it's not going to hurt me. I'm going to identify with this. Ultimately, that's what your salvation really is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Everlasting life. God sent not His Son to condemn the world, but He came because He loved the world. Amen. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you flipped over in your Bibles, just go ahead and look at it with me for a moment, to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, and then we'll close. Romans 10 and verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe, but confess the guilt of your life. Verse 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You have a problem with this crowd running around today that says, I'm saved, but I don't want to identify much with Christ. There's a problem there. If you're saved, you won't mind taking a stand for the Lord Jesus. You'll do it in your home. You'll do it at your workplace. You'll do it at church. It doesn't matter if you're saved, a child of God, you will do it. Go ahead and look with me at verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Salvation is just that simple. Brother Timothy, come on to the piano. Looking back again in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really have that peace of God in your heart with God? In other words, oh, taste and see that He is good and that you are living by that. And as a result, the more you've lived by it, the greater the peace of God that comes into your heart. The peace with God. This world is falling apart. I am convinced we're hearing a lot of things right now that are happening. Yeah, I was talking to somebody just last week. Have you noticed the past 2 or 3 weeks the new thing we're hearing about? UFOs, strange life that is being found. And it's not just tabloid papers that are pushing this. This is government agencies that are investigating this and that. Is it possible, friends, that one of the reasons that all this is now, they're laying all this out is just because they're trying to set the stage for a sudden exodus of people out of this world? Is it possible? I don't know. That life from another world has come and taken so many of our citizens. I don't know. We've got to be close to Christ's return. Amen. We've got to be. And you need to make sure that this peace with God resonates in your life. You need to know that you're saved. heads bowed and eyes closed right where you're at. Brother Daniel, would you stand right over here? Miss Melissa, would you stand right over here? If you are a man today and you don't know for certain that heaven would be your home, or if you are a lady and you don't know for certain, these are people that are here to help you. They're not standing down here waiting to swipe your credit card. They're not standing down here waiting to try to get what they can out of you. All they care about is getting Christ to you. And they will take the Bible and show you, as Paul said in Romans 5, where you can have peace with God. Now, as we sit in this quiet, solemn, still moment, I just want to ask you, do you know without any doubt that you have this peace with God?